And this morning we're going to come and talk about heaven. And I think it's a great conversation for us, especially today, especially what God is up to today. I don't know how many of you have seen, I was on YouTube. And you could look, after-death experiences. And you'd be surprised at how many people come on with these stories about, I seen this light, or I had this experience. They have these out-of-body experiences. And some of them talk about a light they seen, and some of them talk about, kind of a warm place, a little hot, and they have these, both of these experiences. I mean, it's amazing how many of those stories are on YouTube. There's even TV shows, I think, on this. I read books years ago on this. And it's all out there. What happens when we die? What transpires? And what's it like? And, we wrestle with this. And maybe we get our ideas. Maybe anybody here watched some TV shows or maybe some movies. Maybe it's like George Burns puffing on a cigar. Anybody seen the movie Oh God? Anybody remember that movie? Or maybe Morgan Freeman. Maybe God's like Morgan Freeman, and he's something like that. Or maybe you get an image of heaven as, you're sitting around, floating around on a cloud, just praising Jesus all the time, your arms flying around, and you're just floating around praising God. And what's this image? If I was asking you, what image do you have? If you were to close your eyes and imagine, what would come to your mind? What would come to your eyes as you imagine heaven? And I want us to think about that this morning and think about some of those experiences. And I've always heard some jokes. I've heard the one, and I think I've shared, the taxi cab driver and the two preachers. Anybody ever heard that one? You got the taxi cab driver and these two preachers, they all die. They're sitting at the pearly gates, and Peter walks out and begins to interview them, and he talks to this one, and who are you? And he says, I'm John so-and-so, and I've been a preacher for 40 years and been married for 60 years, and I've tried to serve God all my life, and just kind of goes through all this little stuff. And Peter says, oh, that sounds really great. Have a seat. And the next guy, he says, okay, who are you? And I'm Peter so-and-so, and this is my life, and I've been a pastor, and I've done this, and I've done that, and been a missionary, and went around the world teaching and preaching on Jesus. And Peter says, oh, that's wonderful. Have a seat. Comes to the third guy, and he looks at him and says, who are you? And he says, I'm it really doesn't matter. I'm just a taxi cab driver. He said, and Peter, what's going on? And he says, yeah, I've been a taxi cab driver in New York, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Peter says, oh, okay, go on in. And the preachers are just kind of sitting there looking at one another going, what in the world, And finally, one of the preachers says, well, how come he gets to go in so quick and we're still sitting here? He goes, well, he scared the hell out of more preachers than you guys preached. How about the one, have you heard about the guy that went to heaven and he's sitting at the gates and Peter's going, are you ready to go in? He goes, well, can I bring anything? Peter says, yeah, you can bring stuff. And so the guy says, well, give me a minute. And he runs down, he comes back, and he's got this briefcase, and he comes walking up to the pearly gates, and Peter says, okay, now what do you got? So the guy pops open his briefcase. Here's these bricks of gold in this briefcase. And Peter looks at it and looks at the guy, kind of puzzled look on his face, goes, what are you bringing the paving for? You want to do some more street work or what? I hear all these kind of jokes. What is heaven really like? Is there golden streets? Are there pearly gates? What's heaven like? The Bible gives us one little scripture, and we're going to look at some of this. But look at this first scripture with me. And see what it says as it tries to give us a glimpse of heaven. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. What it's really saying is we cannot understand, we can't fathom, we can't even imagine what heaven is like. It's bigger than anything we think, it's bigger and greater than anything we think. It's this thing out here. Here's what I want you to imagine. Can you think of that experience in your life that you wish that, I wish this would never end? Anybody ever have an experience like that? That life and things are just right, and you're going, man, I just wish this would never end. Well, that's what we're kind of talking about. That it's even greater than that, that experience that you wish could never end. Have you ever had that time when you said, things just can't get any better? Things just can't get any better. You ever had an experience like that where you just feel like things are just really, really good in life right now? well, heaven's better. We need to kind of step back and see these images of heaven and think about it and imagine what heaven is like. Because I want to tell you, heaven's under attack. You know, last week we talked about how Satan was attacking hell. Now, here's how Satan attacked hell. If you remember last week and you were here last week, what I said is, here's how Satan is attacking hell. Satan's trying to encourage you that hell's no big deal. All right? This is what Satan wants. Satan wants to kind of let you know, it's no big deal. It might exist. It might not. Remember I told you, the majority of people, there are less than 50% of the people believe there's a place called hell. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you to think, well, there's no big deal. It doesn't even exist. It's not out there. Because see, if hell doesn't exist, I don't need to worry about God, and fear God, worry about Jesus. Don't need to deal with that because hell doesn't even exist. Why bother? See, that unbelievers don't need to worry. If hell doesn't exist, don't worry. Now, as a believer, if hell doesn't exist, I don't need to tell anybody. There's no urgency to tell anybody. There's no urgency to invite anybody to church. There's no desire to let anybody know that God loves them. Because hell doesn't exist, it's no big deal. See, Satan tries to convince us of that. Well, he does the same thing for heaven. He attacks heaven and tries to twist heaven around so that, again, it becomes no big deal. It's not a problem. And so I put two ways Satan attacks. If you got your outline here, I want you to kind of look at it. Two ways that Satan attacks heaven. The first one he says is this: heaven can wait. Matter of fact, there's a movie called Heaven Can Wait, all right? Yeah. But Satan wants to kind of tell you heaven can wait. You know, life here is good, life here is great, and heaven can wait. Now, I've kind of fallen into this trap. I'm enjoying life. I enjoy my grandkids. I'm going to take them to Disneyland in a few weeks. My grandson's going to graduate in about 2 weeks from here. A lot of good things. Life is good. You know, I'm ready to go to heaven, but I'm in no rush. Anybody in my boat there? You know, I'm enjoying too much. See, Satan has made this world where it seems like this is great. This is good. Yeah, I got issues and I got problems and I got struggles. But, you know, I can't imagine anything better than this. Can you? Come on. You know, we get so comfortable with our world, we want to put heaven off. It can wait. There was this preacher one time, he was preaching, and he stood up, and he goes, all right, everybody that wants to go to heaven today, raise your hand. You know, and all these people raise their hand. You know, they're all throwing their hands up. You know, but there's this one guy sitting over here. I'm not going to point at you, Josh, further over, all right? You know, he's sitting over there, and he just kind of sat there. So the preacher's going on. He says, if you want to go to heaven, and you want to go to heaven today, stand up. And everybody stands up, but this guy over here just sitting down. And you know, that just, you know, as a preacher, I'm going to tell you, but just like, what's going on, you know, what's happening? And so afterwards, he's out greeting everybody and talking with everybody, and he kind of corners the guy and goes, don't you want to go to heaven? And the guy goes, yeah, I want to go to heaven. He says, well, why didn't you raise your hand or stand up? He goes, oh, I thought you were trying to get a bunch of people ready to go today. You know, now most of us, you know, we want to go to heaven someday, right? Well, we need to understand, that's kind of what Satan wants us to think. Satan wants us to kind of back up someday. Let's wait for another day. I got more things I want to do. You know, I don't want to go because, you know, Cars Land hasn't opened up at Disneyland yet. It's too soon. You know, I still got things I want to do. You know, I want to go do this and I want to go do that. You know, I want to go to New York and I want to go see a Broadway show. And we kind of say things like, but I'm ready to go. See, Satan has kind of twisted things around that heaven can wait. You know, just not now. See, we don't think heaven is better than this. We can't imagine how things can get better than this. Look what the scripture says. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Better is one day in the courts. What it's saying is this: better is the most miserable day in heaven than one day here. Think about it. And heaven's not going to be miserable. Heaven is a marvelous, wonderful place. We can't even imagine what it's like. We can't imagine the grandeur of God and what He has restored for us. That's what he tells. We can't even envision it. And yet we're kind of saying, we'll wait. I'll wait. Just a little bit longer. See, and Satan's kind of attacking heaven like, just wait. Enjoy. You know, don't worry. I mean, is that what our world sat here and says? You know, go for the gusto, right? Isn't that what the world, you know, watch those commercials on TV. You know, live for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Enjoy this. You're missing this. You're missing out in life. And the world offers all this, and we keep, well, heaven can wait. So the first attack Satan has is, you know, heaven can wait. Relax, enjoy, don't worry about it. Heaven can wait. The second thing Satan does is this. If you look at your outline, most people are going to heaven. Well, I got another scripture here. Have you made known to me the path of life? You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Wonderful. Pleasures, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, rest, righteousness. Just go right on down the list. That's what heaven's going to be like. And we say, oh, that can wait. We'll just put it off. Now, again, I'm going to tell you, I'm in no rush. Well, am I falling into Satan's trap? I don't know, but I thought about this as I wrote the message. Have I fallen into Satan's trap? You know, I'm in no rush. I mean, I want to see my grandkids grow up. But you know what's going to happen after my grandkids grow up? I'm going to have great grandkids. And I want to see them grow up. You know, does it ever end? And we just, well, it can wait, you know. Wait for this and wait for that. All right, that's the first attack. The second attack, if you look at your outline, is everybody's going to go to heaven. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Everybody goes to heaven. It doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how you live. Doesn't matter where you've been. Everybody goes to heaven. Now, there are people out there that teach that. You know what? That church is called universalism. And there's a big debate within the Christian right now. Some guy wrote a book, and I haven't read the book, so I'm not going to judge it yet, but I'm going to try to read and see what it says. And it's like everybody, well, I'm going to tell you. Well, I'll let the scripture tell you. Look what the scripture says. Enter through the narrow gate. Okay, what kind of gate is it? Everybody tell me, what kind of gate? Okay, it's a narrow gate, which implies kind of crowded, few. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Not everybody goes to heaven. And it's not God's choice. We looked at it last week. I read a scripture passage to you last week. That passage says, God is waiting so that none should perish. Remember that scripture we looked at last week? God doesn't want anybody. It's our choice. You know, it's kind of like, are you going to get on the taxi? Are you going to get in the cab? Are you going to get on the monorail? Are you going to get on the whatever, trolley car, whatever? Are you going to get on? You know, it's sitting there. God is saying, I'm waiting for you. But what's so amazing, here's the study for, you know, some people are willing to admit they're going to go to hell. Some people are. For every one, 120 say they're going to heaven. That sounds like a little contradiction, doesn't it? You look at most surveys, 80% of people think they're going to go to heaven. 80%. I don't know. That doesn't seem to fit with that scripture to me. Don't worry about heaven. This is what Satan is saying. Don't worry about heaven. You're going to get there. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you accept Jesus. Doesn't matter how you live your life. Doesn't matter what you do, what you did. You just go on. Everybody's going to get there. 80% of people believe that. And yet the picture of heaven is found in the Word of God, and Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets there but through me. You wonder what heaven, you ask everybody, what's heaven look like? Well, let's look in the Bible. Well, how do you get there? Everybody's going, well, what does that say? Well, I don't know. So you believe this part, but you don't believe that part. That really makes sense. Yeah. And see, Satan has deceived us. You know, it's kind of like, well, here's the default. You know, it's like, you ever have those computers have defaults things on it? You know, it's automatic, I'm going to do this. Everybody thinks, well, I'm born, I'm default by default, I'm going to heaven. That's one thing I always tell people. I never really want to pastor churches in the South. Because, see, some of the churches in the South have been there for hundreds of years. And it's like it was great-grandma's church, it was grandma's church, it's mom and dad's church. And since I was born here and raised here, it's my church. I got a guy I listen to on a podcast, preaches in Oklahoma. Every service, at the end of every service, he'll spend 5 minutes giving an invitation directly to accept Jesus Christ. Because they think they're okay. See, California, you don't have to worry. People here in California, they know they're lost. I'm serious. I mean, you talk, they do. They make no pretense about it. You know, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live the way I want. You know, you get back to the South, you know, it's been in the family for hundreds of years, and it's like, I'm going to heaven. That's default. You know, it don't work that way. You know, but that's what Satan has convinced us of. You know, well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm going to heaven. You know, well, I go in the garage every day. Am I a car? You know, come on. You know, but Satan, see, Satan has attacks. See, Satan takes these things. He takes hell and, don't worry. He takes heaven, don't worry. And he twists this. But what is it really like? Why should I really want to go there? If you know, I'm going to be honest. You know, if all I'm going to want to do is run around and sing songs and praise God, I don't know. You know, they might not want my voice in their choir either. I mean, come on. I think it's more than that. And I think that's what we see in this picture here. Matter of fact, we're going to look at a story in just a minute of a revelation. And a revelation literally means, there's a book in the Bible called Revelation, just if you want to know. It's the last book of your Bible. And it literally means to pull the curtain back. That's what the word means. It means to open the curtains, like we've opened these curtains and you see the stage. You know? And that's what the word revelation means. And so John is the writer, and he had a vision. They pulled the curtains back, and he got a glimpse into heaven. He's on this island. He'd been exiled because he'd been preaching about Jesus, and they didn't like that, so they sent him out some island while he's on the island. Isn't it funny that people want to punish you, and God does something with it? Whoa. Yeah. Bad things in life God uses for good. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Yeah. Hey, you go out there. You're bad. We don't like you. Get over there. While he's out there, God comes and says, hey, man, I got you covered. Hey, thank you. And God pulls the curtain back, and he gets this glimpse of heaven. And so that's what the book of Revelation is all about. And here's a passage of what he's seen as he looked into heaven. So look at this with me as we read this. Then I saw, I want you to underline some words, circle some words, a new heaven, circle that. And a new earth, circle that. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Okay, just real quick, let me kind of pause right here. He sees these new heaven and a new earth coming down. As he's watching this, there's no sea. Now, just to kind of give you a picture, the sea was kind of like a separation. You know, the Mediterranean Ocean, and it was chaos, and it was dangerous, and it was frightening, and it was scary. As a matter of fact, if you read about Paul sailed on the Mediterranean Sea several times and had shipwrecks. And so what he's saying here is, I see a new heaven and a new earth, and it's not scary. It's not frightening. It's an awesome-looking place. So he's kind of setting the stage here. And it's prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice. Okay, now, he's kind of talking, and then he hears a loud voice. Which means you better pay attention now, right? When somebody yells at you, don't they want your attention? It's kind of like, here's what it looks like, here's how it looks, and then all of a sudden, hey, look. So he's kind of getting the loud, 20 times it says in the Revelation it yelled. So he's kind of saying, look, pay attention now. So what comes after this is, so what comes next is really important. And I heard a loud voice from the throng saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. Now where's God? He's living with us. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, of the old order of things have passed away. He's get this picture. Descending from heaven is a new heaven and a new earth. It's a new world that God has established. Now, I want to make sure, as you look at this, and that's what I put. I got three things that I want you to make note of. The first one is, God will establish a new heaven and a new earth. This is where our finite minds have a little trouble, all right? I'm going to tell you, this is one you might stumble over. We might have a little trouble trying to understand. What he's saying, and if you look, remember last week I told you that we have Hades and hell. If you look at the scripture, it says Hades is going to be thrown into the pits of hell. And now we see a new heaven and a new earth come down. Here's the picture you need to have. When we die from this world, you go to one of two places, okay? You get two options, all right? There's no more than two options, okay? Make sure you understand this. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And then when Jesus comes again, make sure I get your picture here. Stay with me. When Jesus comes again, when the trumpet sounds and you hear that trumpet, all right, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, all right? You're going to see a new heaven come down. And hell is going to be cast into a deeper pit, and a new heaven and a new earth come down. We're going to see a new Garden of Eden, all right? You need to understand this. You're going to see a new world here. This is really important to get a picture of as you think about heaven. You know, as we think about heaven, you think about floating around on some clouds up in the sky somewhere. That's not heaven. That's where you dwell until Jesus comes again. And then when Jesus comes again, he comes down here and rearranges everything with a new heaven and a new earth. This is destroyed. And there is a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to make sure you get a picture here. And what he's kind of saying is, what you enjoy here, you're going to get to enjoy there. You know, if you like playing golf and chasing that little white ball all over the place, you might get to chase that white ball all over the new earth. If you like gardening, can you imagine gardening in the Garden of Eden? You know, that's the picture he's painting here. There's a new heaven and a new earth. It's all new. And it's all right here, and it's here for us to enjoy, for us to appreciate. See, and we need to see that. You see, it comes down from, see, when we die, yeah, we go to heaven. But when Jesus comes, he sets everything back all up, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. Yeah. No more pain, no more suffering, and I'm going to get to that one in just a minute. But there's a new heaven. Look at what it says here. Look at the scripture here. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. That's in Revelation. Look at the next one. Behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. That's in Isaiah. That's the Old Testament. Isn't God consistent? Look what he says again. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth for the homes of the righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 3. See, there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. Whatever you enjoy, and you know, for me, I really enjoy Disneyland. You guys know that. I'm looking for an exciting Disneyland when we get a new heaven and a new earth. Yeah. I don't know, you know, I don't know what kind of Space Mountain he's going to have, and maybe I won't get sick. Yeah. I don't know what kind of Splash Mountain, man. Come on. Whatever we enjoy here, can you imagine the things that you enjoy here even get better? See, that's the picture that he's trying to paint for us. There's a new heaven and a new earth. Whatever it is you enjoy, prepare to enjoy it even more. Whatever that greatness is, whatever that marvelous thing is, whatever that time that you said, I just wish this would never end, it's never going to end. Whatever you wish you could have more of and have more experience of, it's always going to be there. See, I think about those things. I think about my grandparents, you know, and enjoying the time with them and seeing them again. Grandma and grandpa, and talking to my grandfather, who I only heard him preach once, and I really never knew what a brush arbor preacher was, and really never knew. He just followed the crops, never pastored a church. He just picked whatever was growing up and down the valley here. He'd go from all the way from here to Ventura, California, down in the south, picking crops. I've got him buying cars, staying on ranches. I love that genealogy, and I'd love to talk to him about what it was about preaching and stuff. I got his ordination license. What's so amazing, my uncle, I really appreciate my uncle. He gave me my grandfather's ordination license, and his dad signed it. His dad was a preacher also. And I can't wait to see him. I didn't know I had anybody in my family that was a preacher. The way my family lives, I would have never thought anybody was. Yeah? I can't wait to see that. And just imagine a new heaven and a new earth. And you think family reunions are great now? Imagine what it's going to be like then. We need to step back and, yeah, heaven can wait, but do I really want it to wait now that I hear about all this? Yeah. See, do we see this image that God has for us? There's a new heaven and a new earth. What is it that excites you? What is it that brings you joy? What is it that brings you peace? It's a marvelous. We can't imagine what it's going to be like. And God's promised that to us. The second thing this passage teaches us is this. If you look at your outline, God will do away with death, mourning, and pain. Here, look at the scripture again. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the older order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Imagine, no more pain, no more sorrow. Anybody here struggle with headaches? No more headaches. Struggle with backaches? No more backaches. Struggle with being colorblind? No more colorblind. Struggle with you can't sing? You can sing. I want to make sure Jocelyn heard. Make sure you tell Jocelyn I get to sing in heaven. She's been giving me a bad time. She went and heard a preacher preach, and he sang in the middle of his sermon. And she was giving me a bad time. And I said, you guys all leave if I start singing. Yeah. So make sure you tell her. I said, I get to sing in heaven. Yeah. But think about that. Whatever it is, you stressed about money? No more stress. You worried about your job? No more worry. Worried about gas for that car at $5 a gallon? Don't have to worry about that anymore. No more pain, no more death, no more suffering. Death is swallowed up in victory, the scripture says. You know what I've learned more and more as I think about this? You know, you're really not dead, okay? When you are a Christian, even if you're not a Christian, all right? Here, let me tell you. If you're a believer or an unbeliever, you're never going to die, all right? You might leave this world, but you're never going to die. The only question is, where are you going to spend it? You know, that's something I've been realizing. More and more I think about this. Maybe I'm getting older and, you know, it's like, wait a minute, you never die. I just don't live here anymore. It's just, where are my reservations? You know, I want my reservations in heaven. Yeah. But we're all, I mean, you know, I'm not really dead. You know, my father-in-law just passed away. Glenn just passed away. You know, they're not dead. They're just not here. You know, that's hard to fathom. You know, there's no more death. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. No more stress. No more anxiety. Oh, I'm worried about this. What am I going to do about this? When is this going to happen? Yeah. None of that anymore. Yeah. And that's what he's painting a picture of. Look at this next scripture. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear has heard, what has never come into man's heart is what God has prepared for those who love him. Can't even imagine. Can you imagine getting up and not hurting? Some of us get up and hurt now. Yeah. When I was younger, I never hurt. Now the weather's changing. It's like, oh, man, it must be going to rain next week. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. Don't think I'm the only one. You know? But can you imagine? No more aches, no more pains, no more headaches. You know? No more cancer. No more AIDS. You know? No more pneumonia. No more nothing. You know? That's what heaven is like. And we said, oh, we'll wait. I can wait. Do we really see that? We can't even imagine what it's like, what God has prepared for us. Look at this next scripture. Well, let's go to the next point. God will dwell with us. This is really significant. You know, I hear people say this earth is heaven, or I heard this earth is hell. I've heard all sorts of stuff like that. But the key is, heaven is where God dwells. And someday it's going to be here in a new heaven and a new earth. You know, years ago, if you read the Old Testament, you read the scriptures, you run across Moses. That's back in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Moses. He's in there, all right? And Moses wanted to see God. He had followed God. He obeyed God. He did all, I mean, he was doing everything God had asked him to do. And he says, God, I want a glimpse of you. And God says, you know, you can't see me and live. It's just, it can't happen. So God revealed, he said, listen, if you go up in the corner of this rock, I'll cover you this way and you can just see the glimpse of my glory. You can't see me, but you can see my glory as I pass by. And God passed by and Moses got to see his glory. The scriptures tell us no one has ever seen God and we can't see God and live. But there's going to be a day when we walk in the presence of God and we see him face to face. Look at the scripture. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. We're going to dwell with God. Can you imagine living on the same street God lives on? Whose house is going to be bigger, I wonder? Yeah. Think about it. I mean, come on. Yeah. We're going to dwell with God. Yeah. He's going to be there walking with him, face to face and seeing him. Look at this next scripture. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. I mean, walking with God. You know, here's what I want to make sure you understand. If you go back to Genesis, that's the first book in the Bible, and you read the first couple of chapters, if you get past the first three, you're in, you know, forget it. If you read the first couple of chapters, they walked with God. There wasn't a problem in the world. Everything was perfect. And then they decided they wanted to do things their way. Chapter 3, things turned real quick. It's called sin. And then they couldn't walk with God no more. If you read it, you'll see it. They walked in the garden. They walked with God. They heard God walking in the garden. Beautiful relationship, God, man, and then sin. But you know what? There's going to be a day when sin is destroyed. And we walk with God again. Face to face. We see him. We can hear his steps in the garden. We can hear him walking with us. You know? And we need to see that. It won't be that picture frame. You know that little picture with the single footprints and stuff? You know, and it's where's God? And it's like, well, God's the one carrying you. Well, no, you're going to be walking with him, holding hand in hand. We need to see heaven as that dwelling place with God and that we're walking and we're living with God. But see, what's so tragic is Satan has attacked all this. Satan has told you, it can wait. Don't worry about it. Yeah, enjoy. This is all there really is to life. Just appreciate what you got. Matter of fact, go for the gusher. If you don't have it, steal it. Yeah. You want it, get it. Everybody else is doing it. Take care of yourself. Isn't that what Satan says? Yeah. Heaven can wait. That's down the road. You're too young, you're too old, whatever. It's just wait. See, Satan has convinced us it can wait. It's no big deal. It's no hassle. Just be patient and just wait. And he tells us that. Or Satan comes around telling us, here's this beautiful place, but everybody's gone. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, you're on with everybody else. Yeah. Yeah, that scripture says there's a few, you're part of the few. Don't worry. You know, and we listen to this, and we miss the beauty of heaven and what it's going to be. And we miss inviting others to join us on that journey, and to be a part of that. See, we need to step back and think about heaven. The bottom of your page, I put it this way, real simple. I want to see God face to face. I do. I want to see him face to face. I want to walk the streets of gold with him. That's what I want to experience. Kind of goes with that song, Amazing Grace. Does it talk about when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, to sing his praises and his joy? Can you imagine that? I remember a church when I pastored in Fiddletown and in Willits. And the guy in the back, he was in his 80s when I got there. He passed while I was there. When we sang that song, we changed it to when we've been there 10 million years. We're just a passing through this world, folks. Are we just going to wait and just pass time? Just cruise on through someday? Or will we imagine the joy of seeing God face to face and walking with Him? I want to challenge you. You know, my decision's made, but it's not good enough just for me. You need to know. You know, I look out. Most of us are Christians here this morning. If you're not, you need to make a decision. You need to decide today, you know, am I heaven bound or am I not? You know, are you on that universal plan? It don't exist, all right? You need to know that. You know, if you got this card that says universal salvation, it's no good, all right? I'll tell you right now, you walk up to St. Peter and say, hey, I got my car. You go, oh, I don't know what that is. It's going to be awful hot, all right? Yeah. You might need to take care of that. There's only one way, and it's Jesus Christ. You know? And don't think, well, Christians are intolerant. Well, you know what? If you're Muslim, they're the only way, all right? If you're a Mormon, they're the only way. If you're a Jehovah's Witnesses, they're the only way. We all got our only way, but I'm going with this book. All right? I'm sold on this one. It's been faithful and true, and it hasn't changed. And I'm going with Him. And if He says He's the way, I'm there. But I want to challenge us as believers. Are we going to go by ourselves? Who are you taking with you? Who are you inviting to join you on the journey to heaven? You know, I want God to wait. You need to know that. I love that passage. God is waiting that none should perish, because I got people I want to see in heaven. Anybody on that boat with me? I got family I want to see accept Christ. I got brothers and sisters, mother and father, that I'm just not sure where they're at. And they won't really give me a straight answer, although my mom calls and tells me she's okay. You know, I'm not quite sure. You know, telling me and showing us two different things. But what am I doing to help them get and to see Jesus face to face? Who are you and who's on your heart to reach and to touch? See, Satan said, I can wait. There's always another day. There's always tomorrow that we don't know. I want to tell you, May 21st is coming pretty quick. All right? May 21st, it's all over. At least some wackos, wait, I shouldn't say it that way. Some person believes it's all over May 21st. And I'm going to take it to the bank that the Bible says nobody knows, so he's wrong, all right? I adventure, if I believe that, I got $18,000 I can charge on my American Express. I'd be out spending money, guys. All right? I mean, you know, if I knew it was over, I'm going to go out and buy my iPad and everything else I want, my new camera. I mean, if it's over, man, I'm spending. You know, because I ain't got to pay it back. Good luck collecting it now. I'm in heaven. Oh, I'll pull up a golden brick. Here, you can have it. Yeah. You know, it ain't going to happen, you know. But someday, I'm going to tell you, someday that trumpet will sound, and I don't know when. It's my understanding from this word, it could happen today. I don't have to wait till the 21st. But it might take another 2,000 years. But all I know is I want to make sure that my family and my friends join me in heaven to see Jesus face to face. I pray for my grandkids. I pray for my children. I know they've made decisions and they're doing good. But I want them to fight the good fight and finish. What about you? Who are you praying for? Who are you reaching for? I want to see him. Do your friends. Let's pray.